SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, April 30th, episode 145. And let's get into our tip-off tops with possibly an end of the era. The Milwaukee Bucks blew not one, but two last-minute leads and losing 119-118 to the Indiana Pacers. Indiana not covering as around an eight-point favorite. Giannis was Giannis. Gary Trent, absolutely fantastic. Balanced scoring from the Indiana Pacers, which is not the big story that came out of last night. It was what happened after the game. After hitting the game-winning layup, Tyrese Halliburton's father, John, came out of the stands, kind of taunted Giannis, and really became a really ugly scene. A lot of people have talked about it, but they haven't shown this. And this is John Halliburton, Tyrese's father, not long after the game, saying, "I sincerely apologize to Giannis, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Pacer organization for my actions following tonight's game. This was not a good reflection on our sport or my son, and I will not make that mistake again." I will give John credit for apologizing, but I must say this. It was dangerous. It was a nasty scene. And I'm going to credit Giannis for not doing something incredibly stupid, as it was in the heat of the moment, and he was obviously upset. I also want to give credit to some players like TJ McConnell, who was seen trying to calm down and apologize to Giannis when it happened. But before I move on to the Knicks game, I got to address this really quick. I think Giannis's time has to be done in Milwaukee. I know it's a hot take, but simply put, he wanted to compete for a championship, and he doesn't get a chance to with Milwaukee. With, if you thought about it, guys like Damian Lillard, going to be out probably all next year. You know, they traded Middleton last year, during the season, for Kyle Kuzma. He was an abomination. Bobby Portis, free agent. Brooke Lopez, free agent. Pat Connaughton didn't play. They're relying on young guys that don't have a lot of a future here. Giannis was incredibly frustrated. If you look at the Eastern Conference, I fully expect Giannis to ask out for a trade. And if I'm Milwaukee, I grant it. This is a top five, maybe the best player in the sport who can get a huge return and start a rebuild in Milwaukee where it is needed. Speaking of rebuilds, what a job by J.B. Bickerstaff and the Detroit Pistons down 3-1, going into Gotham and win 106-103, covering as an underdog and winning outright. The play of Ausar Thompson was absolutely fantastic. And basically also the defense that was played on Jalen Brunson. Karl-Anthony Towns struggled. Mikal Bridges struggled. Jalen Duren did a great job with the rebounding. It really wasn't for someone like Mitchell Robinson. They wouldn't have been in that game. Now, listen, the talk needs to be quickly on tips. There was a situation where both Hart and Brunson got hurt with about 2.5 minutes to go in the game. They had to come out. Tips had only one timeout left. He did not burn a timeout to get Hart and Brunson back in the game. And they didn't get back in the game until about, I think, about 30 seconds or so left. 2 minutes went off the clock with your best player and one of your most indispensable players in Josh Hart. One thing needs to be considered by Tips. Number one, you have at least two timeouts left going into that situation. Two, you foul. Just put Detroit to the line to get Brunson and Hart back into the game. Or the biggest one, and no one talked about this, is either throw the ball off someone's leg out of bounds or just step out of bounds and get them back. Game number six will be huge in the Motor City. Speaking of game fives, Boston, 120-89, wasn't even close. Paolo Banchero, major foul trouble, and the Celtics literally pulled away in the third quarter, outscoring Orlando 36-13. This is a dynamic Boston Celtics team that can get going offensively at any point. I want to take this minute really to really congratulate Jamal Mosley in Orlando with the injuries to the abs to both Banchero and Wagner. You're losing the other Wagner. Getting those two guys back. Losing Suggs for the year. For the fact that they did what they did, that team deserves a lot of credit. They're going to have to address some things in the offseason, particularly perimeter shooting. But we'll spend some time after the season breaking down each team and what I think they need to do in the future. Two teams that don't have to worry about that right now is Denver and the Clippers. Denver takes a 3-2 series lead after that crazy win over the weekend with the Aaron Gordon putback at the like one millionth of a second. They win 131-115, take a 3-2 series lead. Shout out, obviously, to Jamal Murray, Bubble Murray, Playoff Murray, whatever Murray, not Bill Murray, but Jamal Murray. Outstanding job, 43 points. Good contributions across the board. Clippers did not play well. I was expecting, I talked about this, as I thought that the number was way too low. I think it's about 203 was over-under. Denver hadn't shown that they have played their best basketball in the playoffs in regards to offensively. They showed that. And Nikola Jokic only got 13 points. I fully expect Clippers to hold serve, and we'll be looking at Game 7 in the Mile High City. Let's move on to awards, where Stephon Castle was named Rookie of the Year, the second straight Rookie of the Year for the San Antonio Spurs. And we know this is really by process of elimination. Guys got hurt left and right, and no one really stepped up. But Stephon Castle, you know, even with De'Aaron Fox getting traded during the season here, and then playing 40-year-old Chris Paul, 82 games starting, Stephon Castle still showed why I said on this podcast, and you can go find which one it was, I said Stephon Castle I thought was going to have the best career in the NBA. Well, after year one, I am right. Stephon Castle, congratulations for Rookie of the Year. New coach, but not an old coach. Doug Christie was promoted to head coach of the Sacramento Kings after taking over from Mike Brown being let go. This is the Sacramento Kings that I was deeply disappointed in firing of Mike Brown. But Doug Christie, a former player with the Sacramento Kings, did a serviceable job with the team down the stretch. The interesting thing to see is after training De'Aaron Fox, what are they going to do with LaVine, DeRozan? What happens with someone like Sabonis? Does someone get moved to try and bring the Kings up to the forefront? Let's head to two things out of one at the college and one in the WNBA. As Mikey Williams has transferred to Sacramento State. You may not know a lot about Mikey Williams. Mikey Williams had problems when he was at Memphis. He was a five-star big-time recruit. He then, after not getting cleared of all charges from Memphis, or not cleared, I would say pleaded down, then ended up heading over to University of Central Florida, and where Mike Bibby was an assistant. Mike Bibby takes over at Sacramento State, brings in Shaquille O'Neal as a GM, and Sacramento State is starting to make waves, folks, in regards to the spending of money and bringing up their program. They're also building a brand-new football stadium. Look for Sacramento State, folks, to possibly ready. Maybe they redo the Pac-12, and Sacramento State, who's got the one, I think, one of the youngest either ADs or presidents in the, all of the history of the California public university school system, look for them to make an impact there. And lastly, Georgia Amore, the star guard from University of Kentucky, before that Virginia Tech, for my buddy Kenny Brooks, just tore her ACL. That is a rough break for Georgia in regards to an injury. And lastly, really quick, I think it's Sarah Williams, I want to say, star forward from Wisconsin, just committed to UConn. We'll talk about UConn and the women. What do I think now that the portal's starting to close down? Who do I like in the national championship odds for the women? And then with someone like Braden Smith going back to Purdue, the move to St. John's, the guys leaving Duke, Caravan, we'll talk about him next commercial, next part. We'll talk about all of that, how it impacts you on our award tour after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, and it's time to get into our war tour. We break down the future markets. With the second round series not already set, I thought this was a good time with the transfer portal kind of closing up shop, I would say, to kind of look back and re-look at the national championship odds for the men and women's basketball for the 2025-2026 season. Let's begin with the men. Duke right now on FanDuel plus 850 to win the national championship, followed by Purdue at 11-1, 12-1 for Houston, 16-1 for St. John's and for UConn, 17-1 for Louisville, Kansas, and BYU, and then 20-1 for Kentucky and Texas Tech. Let's start at the top of the board. We'll actually focus on five teams really quick, right? Duke at 8.5-1, Purdue at 11-1, Houston at 12-1, 16-1 for St. John's and UConn, because these would be the five teams that if I were to put money on, these would be the five I would be considering based on what I know is going to be on the roster. Let's start off with Duke at 8.5-1, even though ESPN doesn't even have them in their top 10. Well, they got big news that Isaiah Evans was not going to transfer and not go into the portal, or going to go pro, and decided to come back. So when you have a backcourt of Foster and Evans, right, and then you bring in, you know, obviously the number one recruiting class in the country led by the Boozer twins. You know, and the way that you saw John Sauer get that team to gel last year with a combination of experience and youth, you got to understand why Duke, in the case of many, is going to be the national championship favorites at 8.5-1, even though they lost, you know, obviously Colin Knipple, Cooper Flagg, and then obviously Malawach, the center. But they're not my pick. My pick is this one at 11-1, and that's Purdue. You look at the fact that you bring back Braden Smith, the Bob Cousy Award for the best point guard in the country. You bring back CJ Cox. You bring back Fletcher Loyer. Could give you the best 1-2-3 combo in the country. Then you go bring back Trey Kaufman-Wren, who really stepped up with Zach Edey leaving, getting you about 20 points per game. Then you bring back Oscar Clough, the transfer from South Dakota State, who got you about 18 a game. And then you get Jacobson back. Jacobson was a star center. Daniel Jacobson was poised for a huge breakout season, and then he got hurt. So I do think that kind of helps. And he got a couple other kids, Liam Murphy, Amir Mayer. So they have the depth, and that's why I like them at 11-1. 12-1 is usually the team I always pick, and I did pick them to win the national championship this past year, and I was close. And that's Houston. Now, Miles Yuzan deciding to go pro probably cost his team for, I would say, maybe being the favorites to win the national championship, at least being over Purdue. But they got Kingston Flamingo, and they got, obviously, Chris Sinak, two top 20 recruits, according to ESPN. Then you get the returners. Emmanuel Sharp, big shot maker, big shot taker. He'll do better than what he did in the national championship game. And then, obviously, Tuggy Fresh, Joseph Tugler. But then they went to the portal. Kind of like they got Miles Yuzan last year. Now it's Pop Isaacs, who had a great year 2 years ago at Texas Tech. Moved on to Creighton. Had a really good start of the year, including, I believe, a big win over Kansas early in the year. 16 points per game at Creighton is out for the year. He will be back, and he will lead the point of attack. Look at Houston at 12-1. Let's head down to 16-1. And that's Slick Rick the Ruler. St. John's 16-1. No R.G. Lewis. No Kenori Richmond. No Aaron Scott. No problem. Why? Zubi Achifor, most improved player in the Big East, is back. Then you go get Osiris Sellers. Got you about 14 points per game at Stanford. You get Jason Sannon, the transfer out of Arizona State. And then you get Ian Jackson, a former five-star recruit, comes back home to the New York City area, where this guy put up 8 or 9 20 points per game and is a walking bucket. What here? Walking bucket at North Carolina. Oh, I'm not done. And then you get Bryce Hopkins, who was like the first guy to come in. Bryce Hopkins, who was a star at Providence, who battled through injuries. And if he is healthy, I'm telling you this right now, Bryce Hopkins, Zubi Achifor, the best 4-5 combo in college basketball. And with the guard play and Rick Pitino, they should be able to make a run. But I want to quickly talk about UConn here at 16-1. Why? That guy on the screen right there, Alex Caravan, has decided to return to Storrs for his senior year. Now you get Silas Demary Jr. from Georgia. Solo Ball returns. Jalen Stewart, Tyrus Reed Jr. They lost Darius Adams, but they will be pretty, pretty good. And remember, they picked up Malachi Smith from Dayton. This team will be dangerous in regards to winning a national championship. You could have two of the top five teams in the country come out of the Big East. Imagine that, like the good old days. Let's head to the women's side, where 2-1, South Carolina, 3-1, UConn, 7.5-1, UCLA, 9-1, LSU, 11-1 for teams like USC, down there, but 35-1 for Texas Christian. Let me focus on a couple of schools here really quick, right? South Carolina, 2-1. When you look at the fact that both Raven and Tessa Johnson are returning, and then you get the transfer, Tania Latson, who was the leading scorer in the country from Florida State, it's going to hurt the chances of Major Fawada. But remember, also, Ashley Watkins was hurt for the entire season. She returned back from injury. And, of course, you have Chloe Kitts and Joyce Edwards in the front court. UConn, number two, Sarah Strong, AZ Fudd, how you doing? But then K.K. Arnold steps up. Ashton Shade steps up. And Sarah Williams just transferred, literally in the last couple hours, to go play for Gino Auriemma. Look for UConn with that team. Maybe gets another ring? Lord have mercy, he don't win too much. Next up, 7.5-1, UCLA. They lost their entire freshman class, but they got Lauren Betts, Kiki Rice, emerging star in Gabrielle Yaquez, who is Jaime Yaquez's little sister, and then obviously look at Lauren Betts' sister to go over to USC. Notre Dame, 15-1. Don't look at them. They have Hannah Hidalgo and not a lot else, but you know where I'm looking at. Let's go TCU. I'm telling you, watch Olivia Miles and that point guard system run by Mark Campbell. They will be a sleeper at 35-1. And you heard it here first, just like last year. Coming up next, we'll get into our scouting report. We'll break down the two games in NBA, Knicks Pistons, and of course, Nuggets Clippers after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 145. And it's time to get into our scouting report where we break down games in the NBA. At record time, folks, this is Wednesday, April 30th. I won't be able to give plays for possible game sixes unless we get wins by either the Rockets and or the Lakers. For if that were to happen, folks, just make sure you download the Sports Grid app, as all of my scouting reports are exclusively on the Sports Grid app. Remember, the best part about it is the app is free. But let's focus on the games on Thursday, because we have two big game sixes, leading off by the Pistons hosting the Knicks. The Pistons are a slight 2-point favorite with an over-under of 213. And you got to wonder if, you know, obviously the health of Jalen Brunson. And then obviously you got to look at the fact that how bad both Brunson and Cat played in game number five. I do not see that happening. I'm going to take the Knicks as a 2-point favorite to go ahead and get the job done. If you're looking at props right now, really quickly as I'm thinking about it, one I would be looking at right now is Malik Beasley to make over 2.5 made threes. This is a Malik Beasley that has gone under in three of the last four games. But before that, I think he hit in nine of the last 11 games for Malik Beasley. This is a guy who's not going to be scared. The moment comes off the bench, he's going to able to have to knock down shots. Look at Malik Beasley possibly to go over 2.5 made threes. And for the Knicks, I'm going back to old reliable. And that's Karl-Anthony Towns. Over 10.5 rebounds. Now, if you look at Cat, he did miss it in a couple of games straight, but he got it last night with 11 rebounds. But he was also in foul trouble. I don't think he gets himself into foul trouble in a big monster performance. Look at Karl-Anthony Towns to obviously go over 10.5 rebounds, and look for the Knicks to cover that 2-point spread. Next game, Denver at the Clippers. Okay, this was the zigzag series until Zag went twice, and that would be Denver winning games 4 and game 5. I said this, and you can go look it up. Maddie can confirm it with me. I said this was going 7. This was out of all the series I was the most confident in going 7 games, and I am going back to the well, and I'm going to say this. The Clippers will win. I think the Clippers will win, and they will cover the spread. Lines are out, folks, right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and the Clippers are 6.5-point favorites. Over under of 212. Interesting, because I think it was 203 or 204 last time. I think the Clippers win. I don't want to lay the 6.5 points. I think we do get an over 212. I think the offenses have started to figure each other out, and I fully expect more points to be in this contest. One prop for each team. I'm going to go with Michael Porter Jr. to go over his points prop of 12.5. I've been hanging around this points prop pretty much a lot this series. He's gone over 3 of the last 4 games, 12 out of the last 15 games overall for Michael Porter Jr., and 8 of his last 11 games versus the Los Angeles Clippers has someone like Michael Porter Jr. gone over. As regards to the beard, I'm going to go with the beard. I'm going to go with the beard over his points and assist prop of about 29.5. This is something that he's gone under 4 straight games. I have a feeling, see, here's my problem. My problem with the beard isn't game sevens. I mean, it's game sevens, not game sixes. I think at home, after a terrible performance where he got combined for 18 or 19 PRA, I fully expect the beard to come out in full force and show his true arsenal and be able to shoot the ball much better than he did last night and go over the 29.5 points plus assists. So really quick, we're going with the Knicks on the money line. We're going to go with Malik Beasley over 2.5 made threes. Cat over 10.5 rebounds. We're going to go over to the best thing I like is I'm going to go with the over of 213 on Nuggets versus Clippers. And then I'm going to go, obviously, with my two plays, Michael Porter Jr. over 12.5 points and over 29.5 points plus assists for James Harden. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for April 30th. For all things sports gambling, go download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. From my producer, Matty George. Vinny does a great job with the graphics. Thanks for listening, folks. Remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.